You can see I titled the message today, We Are the Sheep of the Good Shepherd. My other title would have been The Blessings of Being Sheep. As I thought about this, I thought the first one actually sounded a little bit better for us. But there is real blessing. I'm going to read, and for those of you who have listened to me when I wear my Bible tie, not sure what you're getting. Today you're going to get a lot of scripture at different points, but I don't think an overwhelming amount that speaks to this picture of Christ, the great shepherd, our Savior, who leads us to that God that does nothing but good for us and strengthens us in every way. And we'll be looking first, and just briefly, at Matthew 9, 35 through 38. God's word here reads, And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. The truth is that most of the world, and I say this without much hesitation, most of the world is really inclined to not care about their salvation. I know that I was one of those people for nearly half of my life and really didn't care. And I'll be honest, I'm really thankful. I'm thankful for people that did. And I know some of the people that did care, and they tried to witness to me and didn't get a good result at the beginning, but kept trying. I don't know some of them that, or I don't know exactly how they prayed for me, but I know they prayed for me because they were my grandmothers and things like that who were not there to witness to me, or my great-grandmothers. And so thankful for that, though, that God puts these people in our life, because when we look at the very beginning of this, Jesus himself, he is our prime example of what we should be doing with our lives and through our lives. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. What a wonderful picture this is. And this is the picture of the great shepherd, of his sheep, caring for his people, this people Israel, whom God had given them. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion. And this is one of those, of a number of verses that speaks to the compassion of Christ that he has. We don't ever want to picture him as just the king who's not bothered, like many kings we read about, but the king who actually cares. He had compassion for them because they were harassed and they were helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Now, I bring that up first off because sheep without a shepherd, people in that day would know what they were like. They're just roaming around doing what they could. The ones who couldn't get away and wondering what to do next, that they had nobody to follow. You try to find some food, try to find some water, some safety from the wolves and others that want to kill you, and there really is none. We're being harassed by Satan all the time, and especially before we come to Christ. Well, I don't want to say that, actually. Sometimes Christ or Satan leaves you alone for a little bit, and when you come to Christ, others, it's the opposite. They're just being harassed through their whole life and by God's grace, at some point, somebody comes, they share this good news, and somebody, I've seen people just fall down weeping because the news was that good to them. This good news of this shepherd that loved his sheep. But then he says to them, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. And these words were true then. They're true today. How hard? We're looking for a pastor, and it's hard to find a pastor. We have other churches that are looking for pastors. It is hard to find a pastor. We have people graduating from seminary, but there's more empty churches than there are people graduating. So we need to pray that there will be more laborers. Not just to go out into the world, but to serve Christ's church here. He says, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Again, a question for you. Have you been praying earnestly for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest? And I hope that most of you are kind of, whether you're doing visibly or not, you're saying, yes, I have. Yes, I have. You know, it's interesting that a lot of the work that God gives us is not horribly painful or horribly hard. And yet we find it so difficult at times to do the little bit he sets before us. And some of that's just because we're distracted, and some of it is sometimes just because we don't care. We need to be reminded, and thankfully we have the Holy Spirit with us daily to remind us, don't you care about my people anymore? Don't you care about the sinner who's lost in his wickedness? Do you only want to see God's wrath on him? Or would you rather see him saved? Obviously, the answer is we should always want to see them saved. But we should always recognize at the same time that the greater part of this world will not come to know Christ. So how urgent is it for us? It should, hopefully say this, it should give us great joy in the very deepest parts of our hearts to know that our Lord Jesus is not only the great shepherd of the sheep, but that he has allowed himself to become the ultimate sacrificial lamb. Remember all the offerings that were offered up for all those thousands of years. And what good did they do? They kept back God's wrath for one period, a short period, where the blood of Christ was something altogether different. This lamb who would die for us and not only cover a little bit of our sin, but as we know him as Lord, that he would forgive. He died so that each one of us, young and old, could live. And he died so that we might live eternally. One of the things I want to bring up, and especially to the young people, because sometimes I know when I was young and they kept reading from the Bible to me, I did go to church when I was young, although I wasn't a Christian at that time, and I'd listen to these stories, and especially the ones about the sheep and the shepherds, because I'm thinking, what is it with the sheep and shepherds? Because I'd never even seen a sheep until I was like 9 or 10. Never really met a shepherd at that point. I did meet some shepherds later on in life, but didn't know anything about this. Whereas for these people, this is everyday life for them. This having sheep around them, have shepherds around them. And it always amazes me when I read these accounts of, you know, Jesus is the great shepherd, and David was a great shepherd, not the great shepherd, but he was a great shepherd. He was willing to die for his sheep as well, and to kill for them as necessary. But we see the shepherds, And how did Israel look upon the shepherds? They were right below the tax collectors. Wait, I forget. Sometimes I get mixed up on that. Whether they were right, I think they were actually right above, one rung above the tax collectors. The lower people of society, kind of like when I was a kid and we used to, oh, the garbage man. And the guy that carried this burlap sack with him around, and he smelled like garbage all the time. And we can be sure that shepherds probably smelled like sheep a lot too. But the comparison I use is something that most people didn't want to be around these people. And yet, I was reading not but a month ago that, you know, remember the whole story of Christ being born. And who did the angel go to? The shepherds. The shepherds out in the field. Again, not important in society's eyes, but important in God's eyes. Well, let me go on because I've got a lot to cover today and I want to be able to cover in a timely manner. 1 Peter 2:21 through 25, speaking some more about this joy of this. And I want us to see this because he is not only the one that died so that we could have life and have it eternally, but that we can have this wonderful life in him even now. And part of the blessing of that is, as I said, not only coming to worship him, as all people are called to do, but as his people, as those who are in Christ, being able to participate in partaking in the elements of the Lord's Supper that he has given for his church to strengthen us in our walks. Peter is reads, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." Now, I always type that out in bold because it's important to me, because sometimes when we read by stuff like that, we whiz by it. Leaving you an example so that you might fall in the steps. And then we just keep reading without thinking. He's been our example in all that he has said and done. I love that my wife often does bring it up to me when I say something that's absolutely ridiculous and insane. And she says, she doesn't ask always, you know, well, did Jesus do that? She would ask that sometimes, but she asked me more appropriately, do you think that's what Jesus would want you to do? You know, and it just like kind of cuts my legs out from under me right about the knee length, and I'm kind of wondering, because I know what Jesus would want me to do. I've read the Bible enough times to know how I should be responding to people and circumstances, to different situations he might bring into my life. Even the more mundane things, like how often have you gotten a flat tire and wondered, oh, not now. Is there ever a good time for a flat tire? Is there ever a good time, you know, if you're going, okay, Lord, today would be a good day for some suffering and persecution for your kingdom? We don't think like that. In fact, usually when we get to flat tire, the first thing we do is we go, Lord, why did you allow this to happen? Instead of saying the other phrase, so what's going on? What do you have for me to do? Why am I broke down here? I mean, we can. And I've done both. I've approached things with a good attitude, and I've approached things with a horrible attitude at times. But we should be looking. How's our example? How's our shepherd? And it goes on. He said, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Well, again, beautiful words to read. This is part of the reason. It's the reason why he died, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. Are you dying to sin, and are you living to righteousness? There's only two that know, you and God. God even knows better than us because he knows our deepest motives. Sometimes we try to trick God. You ever try to trick God? I know I have a few times. It doesn't work. God knows. So are you doing these things that he has set before us? Remembering and keeping in mind that he died for us. And then the saying that I often see misused so often, by his wounds you have been healed. I remember as a young Pentecostal that was quoted so often in so much of the churches. And then I started looking at it and I'm thinking, well, what he's talking about here is a little different than that. But by his wounds you have been healed. Because of what he has done, you are made whole in Christ. Because of his drawing you. For you were straying like sheep. You were straying like sheep, all of us, outside of Christ. Some of you were only straying for a few years of your life. Some of you may have strayed for many years of your life before God said, enough of that. But have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. What a joy this again should be to us when we read these things, what God has done. You have been given the privilege of returning to that shepherd. And I know I've preached on the sheep thing through the Gospels here a number of times, and I always like to be reminded of the fact that the shepherd's work, it was ongoing. He was with his sheep all the time because they were given to him. They were under his care. And sheep, my friends, and we are the sheep of the Lord, are most prone to wander. Sheep are prone to wander. Have you ever got, I know I got to see a little more of them when I was in Ireland, which I really enjoyed because people there paint their sheep. They literally spray paint their sheep with fluorescent paints. And it may be a pink sheep. I'm serious. This is like branding. So if you see a sheep with a part of a yellow head and a turquoise blue body with a little bit of pink on his rump, you know that he's from this one farmer or shepherd. They're his sheep. They're all painted similar. And they all use different colors. But as you watch them walking around, there is no purpose for them other than to eat and walk and check out what's over here. And unless you see a dog or the shepherd coming and redirecting their course. And I know I've shared with you before how shepherds sometimes would have to treat their sheep a little harshly when they would keep getting lost. Even to the point that I'd read in one study in history where they would break their legs and carry them. So the sheep got to know the shepherd really well. And these are wonderful things because you think, oh man, I hope he doesn't have to break my leg. Well, quit wandering off. It's the simple solution. I know at least a couple times I've had to say in the last week or so talking with people, my simple philosophy always for counsel is simply stop it. You know what you're doing? You think it's wrong? Stop it. Okay. Well, the same with sheep. It's all simple stuff, nothing hard to do. We are prone to stay, and we look ever for greener pastures. And I remember, you know, many of us grew up where they say grass is always greener on the other side till you get to the other side. But it always does look a little greener from here. When I'm looking over there. So this is what we're prone to. We're prone to what seems best for us, for cleaner water. And we have clean water in this land, but there's a lot of places that didn't. And not only were they bad for people, these waters, they're bad for animals as well. So the sheep are always looking for this. And we're always looking for it sometimes. Then we're looking for a greener pasture, cleaner water than the Lord is leading us to at that moment. We want to go this way. We want to go that way. We want what we want is what life is about sometimes. And we don't like to hear when people tell you, you only want what you want, or go, no, I really want what the Lord wants. Okay? And ask a few questions, and sometimes you find out they do. Sometimes you find out, they find out that they don't. So we do that. Most of the time, we're more than willing to follow others, and I'll say not so bright sheep, who themselves are predisposed to follow their own desires, even as we are predisposed to follow ours, rather than follow the shepherd. He keeps giving us throughout Scripture, and by the way, I'm only using a few of these that speak of the shepherds, and we see these beautiful stories about David as a shepherd and others as shepherds and how they cared for their flocks that were given to them. We don't want to find ourselves wandering about, separated from our shepherd. It's a dangerous place to be, not knowing where to go next. And I mean, we have enough dilemma in our own lives, sometimes in our regular lives, when we're following God regularly. When we're not, it can get really, really difficult. We allow sin at times to take hold in our lives, and we know we shouldn't. We rarely are sinning going, oh, I didn't know I did that. We sin. We are sinners. Dr. Godfrey made that clear to us early this morning. We will continue to be sinners, but we need to check ourselves. We need to not allow sin to take hold in our lives. We will lose our footing sometimes, but God is always there to pick us up, to straighten us out, to get us back on track, bring us back into the flock. And sometimes that's all that we need. It's just being around the other sheep really helps. It helps us at times. We find ourselves wandering at times, and we find ourselves wandering right into the snares of the enemy. We find ourselves in battles that we really don't need to be in. These are battles of our own making. These aren't even ones that God puts in our way. These are ones of our own making, our own trials and tribulations. But even there, our shepherd still loves us. He's still good. He will still draw us back. We cannot wander too far away from the Lord if we are his children. He will always draw you back. Now, by the way, that is no proclamation of any sort that, yeah, so you can just go ahead and do what you want. Nope, doesn't work that way. If you're out there still just doing what you want, you might have to examine some things at times. But thankfully, our Lord, he never really takes his eye from us. It may seem like it at times, although he will often allow us. I want to use that term. He will allow us to wander and flounder around in the mud until we, like the sheep, screams out when the sheep gets lost or caught. Whatever noises they make, and trust me, I've heard enough of those noises. We also cry out to our Lord, our God, when we get caught up in the mud and the mire of sin in our lives. And what does he do? He forgives us our sin. And he will drag us out of the mud. He will clean us up so we're not full of mud, weighing us down. And he will direct us back to the right path again. What a joy for us to be able to know. And what a joy that we are able to proclaim this to people who aren't Christians as well. They don't know Christ, and we need to make being a Christian look like what it is, the most wonderful thing in the world. It is the most wonderful thing in the world to be a Christian. May not always feel that way, but it is, because you have that final promise. You will be with Christ forever and ever, and he will love you to no end. It will never get old for you, and there will be a day where there is no suffering, no sorrow, no sadness, no sin. Think about it. No sin. I love to tell this to people because we forget. We sin. And I don't know a day in my life I haven't known sin. I'm looking forward to a whole long lifetime and eternity without sin. Our shepherd takes care of that. Not only that, but again, he does lead us and direct our course. He takes us beside those still waters and the green pastures that he leads us to. Not because he has to, but because he loves to. The great relief for us, or it should be, is that he is always there waiting. And I don't mean a tiresome sense of waiting, but he is always there waiting upon us at times and allowing us to see our own great need. It's kind of, for those of you who are parents and you've had to wait upon your children at times. And when I say wait, I don't mean wait on them and serve them food. I'm talking, you had to wait and allow God to do work in their lives. You've proclaimed, you've done what you could. You just had to wait upon the Lord. The good shepherd will be the one that will allow his sheep to put themselves into a certain amount of danger for a certain amount of time so that they can learn what they need to avoid and so that he can work out that sanctification in their life. Our Lord sometimes does this for us as well, because we are sheep, and it's called life. It is life. Some of us think life should be more pretty and more joyful all the time. Life is a real mixture in this world, so we have to deal with it. But let me move on to a couple more passages before I run out of time. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21 reads, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." This great shepherd, he equips you with every good thing. Now, you know, you've heard me read this as a benediction many times, because it is. It's a word of direction, and it is a blessing for God's people, because it's a proclamation of calling out to equip you with every good thing so that you may do his will. And he does that. Everything you need necessary, he gives you. None of you should be saying, "Oh, I'm lacking." If you're lacking, it's only on your part, not what God has set out before you. He has set out a plethora of different joys and blessings in your life that you can use for his advantage, and I say the advantage of the kingdom of God, and for yourself. Christ, he is the Lamb, he is the shepherd, and he is indeed the teacher of those sheep that himself would become under shepherds at points. It's a great privilege to be able to be called an under shepherd, but I have to remember that I can know how to care for God's sheep like he cares for them. All day, every day, it's there. And that's the idea of disciple making, making sheep into shepherds, making sheep unto shepherds. One thing that we should keep in mind while looking at this and considering the duties of the shepherd, besides the duties of the sheep, which are basically to be faithful to the shepherd who takes care of all your needs, is that because of our sinfulness, even the best, think of the most godly person you know, or godly pastor that you know, or you know of, we will still too often be moved by our own self-interest rather than the motives of the good of the flock that God has put under our care. That was never a problem for Jesus. Never a problem. He not only saves us and loves us, beyond our understanding, He knows us and He calls us by name. Remember I read that at the very beginning? He knows the sheep and the sheep know Him. He calls us by name. And He names us. Let me read a little bit from the first part of that chapter that I was reading this morning. I think I read 9 and 10 for the call to worship, if I'm not mistaken, or 7 to 11. I'm going to read the first part of that where it says, truly, truly. And again, I remind you, wherever it says truly, truly, it means listen, pay attention now. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hears his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. Just a quick summation of that picture there. In most cities there was a central corralling area, and so everybody didn't keep their sheep in a by themselves. They were all put into this big caged area, and the sheep would kind of meander around with other sheep. When the shepherds would come, they would call their sheep, and the sheep would only listen to their own shepherd. No matter how dispersed they might be, they would all hear his voice, whatever his call was for them, and then they would respond to that. And he leads them out. They would come. And it's amazing that we can say, how did they know him that well? Because they spent all their time. And not only that, but he trained them. The shepherd would train the sheep. Even like Christ is training us. He's raising us up to be strong and thorough Christians in our lives. And then it goes on to say, when he had brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Again, the difference between herding and shepherding. Herding, you get behind. By the way, and we'll read something a little bit further. Sometimes the shepherd did get behind and he moved his flock that way. But the general idea was that the shepherd was walking ahead of the sheep. And I don't know, some of them would sing, but they knew his voice. The sheep would follow the shepherd. And then most shepherds also had a special sheep or two that were really good at staying with him. They put bells on them. That way, you pretty much knew where the shepherd was. When the shepherd was talking, singing, doing, calling out, there was also the bells there. I like the second or the fifth verse here. It says, a stranger they will not follow. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him. I actually saw a video of somebody doing that at one point a few years ago, where a guy was trying to call upon, he even dressed up like the shepherd. The sheep, they weren't having any of it. They knew it looks kind of, it's not him. They knew their shepherd. They knew his mannerisms, not just the clothes that he wore, but the sounds that he made. They would flee from strangers, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech that Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Again, he's talking to people that understood about the sheep and stuff. But what are you trying to say, Jesus? Remember, the Jews and even his own disciples, he'd say stuff more than one time in more than one way so that people go, oh, yeah, okay. And even then, sometimes he'd do that and then he'd still have to explain to them what he had really said. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are robbers and thieves, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go out. He will go in and out and find pasture. And I'm going to stop there with that part and go down to verse 14 where it says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. What great news. It's good news, but it's great news for us that he was willing to do that. I know my own and my own know me. We know Christ because Christ has drawn us to him, because he has done a work in our lives. Then it says, just down past that, and I love this part because this speaks to the future. And I have other sheep that are not of this flock, or not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. The most well-known passage regarding the Lord as the Great Shepherd was written by one who himself was a younger man, was also a shepherd. I think most of you adults know who he is already. And I pray that the children know who he is as well. But just in case the right name is not popping into your mind quite yet, here's a small clue. He was a shepherd who became a king. And he also liked to write songs a lot. So I think you know who he was now. This is David. And there are a good number of important things for us to look at when considering Jesus as our shepherd, as our Savior. And he still is both of those. Giving thought to that analogy of the great shepherd and to us as sheep. I mean, we are people and he's Jesus. But this picture that's set before us, again, to remind you people of that day knew sheep well. Psalm 23 that we're going to read or sing in a while. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will make me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What a beautiful picture. I always like the still water, since it was made clear to me that sheep don't really care for racing waters very much. They like those, the more moving but pond area type thing, where there's not a lot of action. Sheep can be frightened by just about anything. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. To have that shepherd in our lives should be that before us. And then pertaining to the picture, you prepare a table before me in presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. What wonderful words for us to be able to say that. My cup overflows. God, you have given me so much. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I love this passage. Also that we see in Psalm 28 that speaks to this, where it talks about the Lord carrying us. He alone, he is our strength, and indeed he is our shield. It says in 28, verses 7 through 9, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. The Lord is the strength of his people. He is a saving refuge to the anointed. Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. Isn't that a wonderful picture? Carry them forever. Just let them be with you. I could go on and on. I have another 15 to 20 minutes worth of notes here, but I'm not going to read all of them to you. I'm going to read this one part of chapter 10, going down further in John, verse 27. He says once again. So it's not like he's saying this one time and it kind of could be misconstrued. He says it again and again. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will not perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. One of my favorite verses. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. So he says it twice, basically, and then he says, I and the Father are one. At that point, you'd think people would be going, amen, praise God. But no, it said the Jews picked up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered and said, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you going to stone me? There's much here that we should be able to learn from about both the care of the shepherd and again the frailness of the sheep. Sheep, by the way, cannot defend themselves. I should have touched that at the very beginning. There's not much they can do besides and run. And they're not really that good at running. They don't last that long. They're not an endurance. I'd be closer to what a sheep looks like if the sheep was a person. They wander and wobble, run. They get in the mud, and the mud gets in their hair, and it gets so heavy that they roll over and can't get back up. Not a very agile creature in the animal kingdom. But God is there to take care of us in those things. We see that. There's also the picture that the sheep have great value. The sheep have great value to the shepherd, and for that we should be thankful. How much did God value us that he sent his only begotten Son? How much did Jesus love us? That he said, thank you, Father, for the gift you have given me of all these people. Here's what I'm going to do. Now, I don't know that this conversation went on. I'm just the picture of the care and the love of God in his people. We are that important to God that he would do all that he has done. And I even think, getting back to David, he's willing to fight bears, lions, and people as necessary to protect his sheep, even as you would do to protect your own families. This is how the shepherd works, then and now. We have been made in the very image of God. And so we can see some of his care. And he is determined to save all of those that he has set apart for salvation. And again, I just remind you, because we forget sometimes, and we think, well, and it's a good thing I'm among them because I deserve to be. None of us deserve to be saved. None of us deserve to be endured for one moment before God outside of the work of Christ. Christ deserves. Christ is owed. So let us be thankful that we know we are saved by a gracious, a loving, and a caring God. And for any of you who may not know Jesus, you may not be saved by his grace at this point, I only have to ask, why not? Why not? You have heard of his goodness. You have heard of his grace. Let's pray. Our Father God, again, we thank you today that we are once again able to come before you to worship you. And we pray, Lord, that the things that I have said have been encouraging to some of the people here today, that some of them may have been convicting. But Lord, with your purpose in mind, we thank you, Lord, that we know that as we live our lives day to day, week to week, and year to year, that we may not feel like we are growing in our walks with you. In fact, we may sometimes feel like we are shrinking, but we're not really. We are different when we're 10 than we are when we're 20. But if you try to measure it on a daily option, you won't notice the difference. Help us to examine our life, Lord, even as we're called to every week, but especially as we come to partake of the Lord's Supper together, we pray, Lord, that we would have been examining our life and remembering the good work that you have done on our behalf. And so we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.